Hit a home run and get pre-approved for your next refinance or home purchase at thehomeloanexpert.com. Enjoy the podcast.
This is Cardinals broadcaster and Schnucks shopper Dan McLaughlin. Schnucks would like to thank everyone during this difficult time. That includes those that are working in the stores. As you can imagine, during this time, Schnucks employees are putting in long hours around the clock to best serve our community. So the next time you're in Schnucks, tell them thanks and that you appreciate them. Let them know how much we appreciate their efforts, because we will all get through this together. Welcome into Scoops with DannyMac.com and my podcast with my broadcast partner, Rick Horton. Ricky, of course, pitched for the St. Louis Cardinals, starter, reliever, closer, now working on the radio and TV broadcast throughout the summer when we have baseball. And let's hope that that'll be sooner than later. Rick, as always, good to be with you. I hope you're safe and healthy. And how are you dealing with what we're all going through right now?
Well, it actually hasn't been bad, Dan. And I say that with full understanding that for a lot of people it has been. So, I mean, I understand that there are people that not just the economic issues that are going on, but also the health issues that people are dealing with in a very real way. I'm very sensitive to that and empathetic towards that. On our front, you know, we've been fine. Our kids are fine. And we're just using it as a time for Ann and I just to connect. We go on a lot of walks, and I'm learning how to cook at the age of 60. So finally, I guess you can teach an old dog new tricks. But it has been, you know, a time of reading and reflection, and it hasn't been all bad in terms of how we dealt with it. Let's put it that way.
Sure. How about baseball? How much you miss the game?
Well, I miss the game. You know, I'm finding, and I'm a little surprised at this. I'm finding that I really miss the live game. You know, and I've been a student of history. I love history just in general, as you know, Dan, with all of our travels together, and I'm reading books on history, on military history. But you know, I thought I would be just kind of able to just embrace and get behind a lot of kind of, you know, past baseball games and the history, but I want now. I mean, I'm a little surprised at that, because I thought I would be a consumer of baseball past, and I'm really looking for baseball present and baseball future.
I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you, because I know fans want to know if we're going to play this year. My gut feeling is we will. How about you?
Yeah, I think we will. And of course, you know, the playing in front of fans is obviously there's not a high probability of that, at least at the beginning, and who knows how long. And that, of course, is a sad thing for all of us, and something we'll have to deal with. But, you know, love to be able to bring, you know, with you and on the radio side too, love to be able to bring Cardinal baseball to fans. I mean, I can't go anywhere. I'm talking about drugstores and be 6 feet away from people without somebody saying, "Miss the Cardinals, I miss the Cardinals, I miss the Cardinals." I think there would be some really good things that would come from giving us that diversion if that happens. And, you know, will it be 100% of what we've had in the past? Probably not in terms of the feel of it, but I'd love to go back to work with you, Dan, and get back after it and hope that somewhere down the road in the future, we do have our return to normal.
Yeah, I'd love it too. Rick Horton, my guest. Ricky, I'm curious about playing in front of no fans. What do you think that's like from a professional athlete standpoint, especially guys that have been doing it a long time, and especially in St. Louis when we're playing the Marlins on a Tuesday in July and there's 40,000 people to none? What do you think that's going to be like?
Well, for the veteran big leaguers, they're going to have to channel their minor league career, maybe their college career.
Yeah.
Remember what it was like to just play, because, you know, and not necessarily have to draw on the energy of the crowd. And that is a thing that obviously when you get the big leagues, I mean, it is incredible when you walk into a ballpark and there are 40,000 people screaming or booing you, whichever the case may be. I mean, it is really an electric experience. And I will say this, that there were times, and I have to reach way back in my memory banks to remember this, Dan, but there were cities that you'd go to in the National League. And at the time it was Atlanta, Montreal, Pittsburgh, that were not drawing very well. And you had to remind yourself that these were big league games that counted. So there was a mental exercise from a player's point of view and from a coach and a manager to say, look, it doesn't feel like this game counts, but it sure does. So there's going to have to be some mental toughness, I think, with players. And of course, that's what they pride themselves in, is mental toughness. But they're going to have to find ways to gear up and get that energy, get that adrenaline from somewhere.
I'm fascinated what a roster may look like. So do you take 30 guys, 35, the 40-man, whatever the case may be? Because if you're playing a lot of games, condensed schedule, you could have injuries. You might have guys struggling. You'd love to go down to the minor leagues and bring somebody up. And to that point, that's where I think the Cardinals, at least coming out of spring training, what I felt was that they would be very, very good pitching-wise. We're going to find out about the offense, but pitching-wise, I think they could come out of this thing maybe better than any other team in the league.
I agree. 100% believe that. Whitey Herzog's on record as saying the same thing. And I would say beyond that, Dan, I would say 40 is too many, personally. I mean, they may do that, but I think that would be too crowded in some ways. But if you go to 30, 32, I think that maybe is the right number as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, but it isn't just the pitching. You know, it's if you're going to play every single day, I mean, is Yadi going to catch every day? Is Paul DeJong going to play shortstop every
day? Exactly. Yeah.
And so it's not, it is the pitching, yes, but it's also, you know, do you have an Edmundo Sosa who's ready to play shortstop and back up Paul DeJong after he's played 30 days in a row? Or do you have an extra second baseman? Do you have the versatility of a Tommy Edman where he can play several places? I think, you know, the more the merrier when it comes to this kind of situation. And that's certainly true of the pitching. I would be very surprised if they don't really push the envelope in terms of how soon they start relative to pitchers actually being ready to pitch. I don't think they're going to gear up to pitchers throwing seven innings. You know, if we did that once in spring training, got them geared up to that, and then had to have the shutdown. Honestly, I think if you can get starters to go three or four at the beginning of whatever the season might look like, and you go ahead and have a seven-man rotation and just let them throw three or four until they build up. And a team like the Cardinals, yes, I think they have more starters. You have Gomber, Ponce de Leon, et cetera. And you've got Kim, who would look really good in spring training. So, you know, several options for Mike Schilt, which I think is a plus for St. Louis.
I find it fascinating, too, what veterans will be like meaning their body. You know, a Wainwright now gets 2 to 3 months off. Yadi can rest his body. Those kind of guys, those types of players in the league, how they respond after being amped up for spring. Now you're down. Now you have to get it back going again very quickly. I think that's kind of a neat part of this to see who responds and who doesn't.
It's going to be fascinating to see, you know, how players are ready for whatever happens. Whatever. And again, no one knows that, you know, we end up saying a lot of what John Mozeliak's been saying lately is, I don't know, because that's what you and I say that to each other a lot when we chat. And, you know, you just don't know what you don't know. You know, but the point is, you know, at some point you're going to have veteran players that are going to have to get ready in a hurry. So if you're a veteran player, Dan, as we know, and it's spring training, you know, they get there early February, and then they end up playing games by April 1st, just roughly. But their work starts in November, so you have to back up 2, 3, 4 months to get ready to where they're game ready for April. So now the unknown of what's going on right now is a detriment to a player, veteran or otherwise, that probably should be thinking, okay, so I have to believe this is like my mid-February time or maybe my early January time. What am I doing then to get ready for a season? Because the reality is it's going to be a rush once the decision is made. It's not going to be 3 months and then we're going to go after it. It might be a month. So you're going to have to kind of get ready as if the season is going to start in a month, which means early spring training. You're going to have to be in early spring training shape without having spring training. And I think that's going to be a challenge mentally and physically, again, whether you're young player or old player.
When I've been asked about this, I said, baseball, it's an outlier this year. It's a blank canvas. So if we have realignment with divisions, if we're playing doubleheaders that have seven-inning games, extra innings, you start with a runner at second base. I don't like it, but if we had to do it, we do it. There's all kinds of things that we hear about. From your perspective, what do you think about all those different things that are being rumored about?
Well, my perspective would be, and I think I'm not speaking for every fan because every fan is different, and you know, every broadcaster is different, every player is different. And we all have our opinions, and that's what makes the game so interesting. I really do believe that. I mean, it's one of the things I've loved about baseball is, you know, it's kind of hard to have a definitive right or wrong about analytics, old school. You know, do you hit and run? Do you bunt? I mean, all those things are, to me, what makes baseball interesting. Do you take the pitcher out? Do you leave him in? But what I believe personally as a fan of the game, I would rather see less changes than more changes, because we're already going to have changes thrust upon us, meaning nobody in the stands. That's going to be weird. So I prefer to have the teams playing in their home ballparks, so at least it has a feel for that. as you're watching on TV or listening on the radio. So you have a little bit of a feel for, okay, it's not normal, but it's still the big leagues. And so I think any changes beyond that, if you go to electronic umpires, if you go to the second base, I wouldn't be in favor of that. Even the DH in the National League, which I know is certainly possible. The more changes that you make, I think for the fan might make them a little disenchanted, maybe too much change too fast. I think, you know, I read a book years ago called Managing Change, and there is a real art to managing change when you're in corporate America. Mm-hmm. You have to do that very adeptly. And I'm concerned that too many macro changes will actually hurt the product and hurt the viewer and the fan. Now, again, I'm not speaking for everybody, Dan. I'm just speaking for myself.
I don't think, Rick Horton, there's any way I could see Yadier Molina in another uniform playing Major League Baseball. But he has come out and said that he wants to play beyond this year. We know that his three-year deal, that extension, is up after this season. The pandemic has made him kind of rethink of what he wants to do in his future. I don't know about you, but I can't see him playing anywhere else. I think the legacy stuff, all of it matters, and I do think he'll finish up in St. Louis. What do you think?
I hope he does. I believe he will. I don't fault him for making the comments that he made. Everybody's kind of at a regroup moment right now in terms of, well, wait a minute, you know, he would have thought by this time he would have had 30 plus games under his belt, and he would have been, you know, and the number of at bats and home runs and RBIs and all the things that Yadi amassed in his career headed towards the Hall of Fame are very important to him, as they should be. And so for him to be thinking that, boy, if I'm not playing this half a year or a quarter of a year or whatever it may end up being that he misses, you know, it may give me some incentive to want to play longer, and I hope the Cardinals will be the place I play. But I have to cover all my bases, so I don't blame him for making that comment at all. But I sure hope that, and I sure hope and think that he's going to stay a Cardinal.
Okay, now I'm going to get you in trouble. You ready?
Yeah, I've been there before.
Yeah, trust me, we both have. So Albert Pujols said over the weekend that he wants to maybe play beyond his deal. Let's just say, for argument's sake, the DH is coming to the National League, and I think it is. Do you think there'd be a reunion with the Cardinals at some point with him? Wouldn't that be something?
It would be incredible. You know, I guess what I don't know, and that's actually the first I've heard of it, Dan. I missed that news somehow that Albert was thinking about that. I know Albert was highlighted over the weekend in a big way with the MLB Network, and you know, good for him. If he came back as a Cardinal, and you think about the moment that he had last year in his return to St. Louis, how electric was that? That was such
awesome.
A great thing. I mean, everything about that was awesome. And so, you know, maybe that fuels the fire of this kind of conversation. What I don't know is how the service contract fits into that he has with the Angels.
Sure.
But, you know, all that stuff can be negotiated and dealt with. And oh, my goodness, that you would I don't know whether we still be social distancing or not, but you would pack Busch Stadium every night if Albert was back in town.
So, you know, I'm just trying to get you in trouble so that we're on the record here that you believe he is going to come back and then retire with a Cardinal uniform on. That's basically what you just said.
No, I think I just said I'm intrigued by it, and I hope it's the first I've heard of it, but sign me up.
Oh, man, it would be awesome.
Now, I'm not the one paying him, of course, and I'm not the one negotiating all those deals, but let's just say if you think about it from a visionary standpoint, from a career capstone standpoint, just how meaningful that would be to so many people. You know, of course, he has great friends and great relationships where he is now, but, you know, it's certainly worth dreaming about. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, it would be something else. I'll wrap it up with this. I'm going to stay with you on Albert here because there's so much over the weekend on MLB Network was dedicated to Albert. And then the report coming from ESPN about he's not ready to talk about retirement yet, not getting ahead of himself, but just doesn't want to talk about it yet. What's your favorite moment with Albert? Because you knew him on a very personal level and know him on a very personal level. We've all seen the moments on the field, but do you have one that stands out for you?
Well, you know, I had personal moments with Albert because I was close to him. And what I remember about the personal moments with him, not on the field stuff, but, you know, how on any given day I would walk by Albert and he would have that stone-faced look and he would walk past me like he'd never met me in his life. And I'd just walk by him. The next day I'd walk by Albert.
Big hug.
His eyes would light up. He'd come and hug me and tell me that he loved me. So Honestly, that's Albert. I mean, and you know, I actually admire that about a competitor, that you get so locked in that you don't even really kind of see what's right next to you at times. But that's how intense of a guy he was. But those memories of those Albert hugs personally are really meaningful to me. I have several specific things that I can think about in that regard. But, you know, just the reminder, honestly, the reminder this weekend of some of the games that I had an opportunity to work, where he had the three home run game on the buddy day at the ballpark when they had the parade for the Down syndrome community. And we had Didi Pujols in our booth talking to her. I mean, that's pretty special, because that's one of those games that kind of transcends baseball itself, and it gets very personal. And that's probably the one that sticks out the most to me.
You know, before I let you go, I'd be remiss too if I didn't bring this up. The Cardinals Hall of Fame voting ended, I believe, on Friday. So we're going to find out who makes it into the Hall of Fame this year. And hopefully we'll have a ceremony and it'll be the pomp and circumstance that we're accustomed to. But you could have two of your former teammates going in. I think there's a great shot that John Tudor goes in and Tommy Herr. And Tommy, in my mind, gets overlooked of just how good of a baseball player he was in that time. And I know you feel the same way.
Yeah, I do. John Tudor, people know about his string of wins that he put together in 85. And you know, the 3 years running, it was really the best pitcher in the National League, I would say. You wouldn't want to oppose him. Not an electric stuff guy, but just an unbelievable competitor. And certainly he deserves it. And everybody on that list deserves it. But the question is kind of who do we think is – who are we handicapping to get in there? But Tommy Herr, the thing about Tommy is you really have to look beyond the numbers with Tom Herr, because he was the team leader in the 80s. You know, he played on the 82 World Championship team, was there in 85, and again in 87. So, you know, he was as much a part of the 80s success as any player. And you certainly throw Ozzie into that too. But the two of them together were critically important. And Tom was really, again, our leader in so many ways. You know, I still have a heart for Keith Hernandez, because I know how much this would mean to him, but I know it would mean a lot to Tom and John Tudor as well. So, you know, I know they'll all get in at some point, and so I'm not kind of too worried about those guys, but you know, you just hope sooner than later for the guys that you played with and know and really care about.
Ricky, thanks so much. Great catching up, and soon enough we'll be back in the booth calling baseball. Can't wait for it.
Yeah, I can't wait either, Danny.
Luke Hughes, we are St. Louis.
Dan McLaughlin here to tell you about the hometown automotive family I trust the most, the Lou Hughes Automotive Network, and you know they are St. Louis. Lou Hughes has been a part of St. Louis for over 7 decades. They're proud to support St. Louis and the surrounding areas with cars, youth, sports, and charitable efforts. 14 brands, 10 locations. Just visit Hughes.com to start shopping today.
Lou Hughes, we are St. Louis.